on your part.
All right, here we go. Welcome to the On Track and Field podcast. I'm JT Ayers, your host. And I think this is number 90-something or whether. Man, you've heard me say it 1,000 times. I'm going to say it again. OnTrackAndField.com is the one-stop shop of everything you need for track and field equipment. And they have great competitive prices. Right now, I'm negotiating with them because I'm a head coach as well. So I'm also their customer. But I'm negotiating with them how to get a big pole vault pit. And pole vault pits are very, very expensive. And they seem to get more and more expensive the more cool things you want on it. Well, I want my athletes to have the best chance for success. So I'm going to use On Track and Field, and they're going to give me a great price. They'll do the same for you. So go to OnTrackAndField.com. With me right now is head coach Kevin Sullivan in his second year as the director of track and field and cross country at University of Michigan. Big Ten Women's Indoor Track Coach of the Year, 2023. Also the NCAA Women's Great Lakes Region Track Coach of the Year in 2023. To say the least, the guy's the man. And it's so cool to have him on the podcast. Coach, thank you for joining me.
Yeah, my pleasure.
Well, let's just jump right into it. I love asking great coaches the same question. What about culture? Like, how important is culture to you? Are you trying to recruit culture? Are you trying to create culture? Is this an ongoing thing? What do you do personally, or what do you really are intentional about to create culture within your program?
Yeah, I mean, I think culture, it's kind of twofold, maybe even threefold, right? So you have this idea of what you want your culture to be. And then you try to, one, mold the athletes you currently have on your roster to kind of fit that ideal. And then you try to recruit in those athletes that either, again, fit that ideal or that are going to help to maybe to manipulate or kind of push the rest of the team in the direction you want it to go. All right. So I think there's a few things there. One, you got to kind of figure out what you want that culture to be. And it's such a broad based word, right? And it's, I don't think it's necessarily like, there's not one way to define what culture is. You know, for us in particular, like we want to win championships. That's our goal. Right. And you know, ultimately we would love to be in a position where we've been national championships. Now, as a program right now, we're not in that position. So we're starting right now with like, okay, let's build the championship culture around winning conference championships. And if we are winning conference championships, then our national exposure is going to rise. We're going to start putting more people into the national meet and give us an opportunity where we're going to be, you know, go from a team that, you know, this year was in, you know, kind of the top 16 of the conference or of the nation on the women's side to hopefully moving into the top 10 or eventually moving farther forward than that.
What kind of expectations does your athletic department even put on you or at any place you've ever been and says, okay, if you want to win championships, it's that or bust? I mean, what does success look like to them and to you? Because this is not just a high school tenure job. This is a big deal. And we see coaches move on all the time.
Yeah. I mean, I think like every department is going to be a little bit different, right? I mean, there's some departments that value conference championships more than national championships. There's others that, that value the national championship more so than the conference championship. Conference championship is just a means to the end goal of winning a national championship. And there's other departments that are very much a mixture of the two. And I think from Michigan's perspective, we're probably more of that mixture. It's not that, you know, one is necessarily emphasized over the other. They see value in both of them. And I think just kind of year over year, you know, it dictates a little bit of like, you know, what are the realities of like, what can you try to kind of accomplish in any specific year. And I think the other thing about Michigan and our program is, you know, the directive that I have from our athletic director is they want us to be competitive in cross country, indoor track and field, outdoor track and field. So it's not just a, hey, go be a great track team. Mm-hmm. It's not go just be a cross country team. It's like, we want you to try and find that balance to try and be really high level, you know, conference championship caliber, national level teams in all of those disciplines.
I mean, you have to manage a lot. I mean, it's not just bringing in recruits. You have cross country boys and girls. You have track boys and girls. That's usually more than most, especially at the level you're at, which is the highest level in the country. And when you're looking and grabbing recruits, how do you manage all those people and coaches? And I mean, how do you even look at who gets a what and scholarship? I mean, how do you manage all of that as a head coach?
Yeah. So, I mean, we try to look at, you know, I feel really fortunate. Like, you know, before I was the head coach, you know, my direct supervisor was Jerry Clayton, was my head coach. And, you know, kind of helped me in that learning kind of how to evaluate, from a performance standpoint of like where scholarships kind of fit. And so we try to look at it relatively objectively from the conference level, because that's right now, that's where we're more competitive. So when we look at the conference level, we want to build a conference level team. We kind of look at, okay, how many points does it typically take to win at the conference? And by, you know, taking a 3, 4, 5 year average, you can then divide it out by scholarship. So if it takes 120 points to win on the men's side, and you've got 12 scholarships, then if you have a full scholarship athlete, then the expectation should be that they're scoring 10 points in a championship for you. And that's if you're looking just strictly at the track side of things. You know, you got to try and balance that out a little bit with, you know, we have those athletes, you know, we have a third to a half of our athletes that are cross-country athletes as well. So evaluating that performance can be a little bit more challenging. But if we're looking at it purely from an objective track and field standpoint, that's a real objective way that we can value scholarship.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. So let's say you have a kid, and I'm sure you do, especially in the great, you know, the great state of Michigan, and all they want to do is compete for University of Michigan on your program. What advice do you have for any recruit that says, that's where I want to go? What advice do you have for them while they're in high school to make themselves known or even valuable to you and the program at Michigan?
Yeah. I mean, I think it depends. Obviously, it depends a little bit on the event area. If we're talking kind of a distance athlete, like I like to see versatility in athletes. I don't necessarily like just kind of the one event guy. Like if you're just a 3,200 guy on the track, but you don't have any leg speed, you know, your upward trajectory is probably not as high as somebody that, you know, that is a really good 3,200 meter run that also has a really competitive mile time, right? Or same thing, when we're looking at milers, we want to look at what their 800 marks are as well. We also want to look at what their 3,200 are, you know, get an idea of kind of where they can slot in. So, you know, those are things that we will look at. You know, certainly from the subjective side of things, you know, we want to look at and this is across the board, doesn't matter what event area, how do you perform in high pressure situations? So are you a person that can put up a great mark in, you know, a little, you know, dual tri meet in the middle of the week, or are you somebody that performs under the high pressure of a big invitational or the state meet or regional meet or the national meet? Like, where do you really shine? You know, if I'm looking at a distance athlete, are you a guy that's just a time trial? You're only going to run well if you have a perfectly set up race, or do you have the ability to adapt and run well in a variety of different conditions and race scenarios? So trying to look at kind of all of those things to get a sense of like, who are your real championship performers? Because ultimately, when we get evaluated as coaches, we're not getting evaluated on how many PR somebody sets in the year or how many school records get broken. You know, we're getting evaluated by, what did you finish at the conference? What did you finish at the national meet? And that sometimes doesn't always come down to like, do you have the fastest time? But Are you the best championship performer? Or are you the best high pressure performer?
Wow, that's a really interesting. I've never heard anybody say that, but it makes a lot of sense. So if you have 12 scholarships on the boys' side and you're trying to allocate it and figure out where it goes, I mean, how many preferred walk-ons do you guys have on your team?
Yeah, I mean, it varies year to year. Like we carry our track roster is right around the neighborhood of 50 athletes. You know, in any given year, there's probably half to 60% that are maybe on some form of athletic aid. Again, kind of varies each year. So you're looking at, maybe 40, 45, 50% of your team is preferred walk-on to the men's side. And that's just the nature of, you know, when you have the number of events you have to cover on the track and you only have 12.6 scholarships, the money just doesn't go that far. And if you, as soon as you make a couple, you know, you have a couple of full scholarship kids on your team, then it goes even quicker.
Yeah, I can't imagine you having to navigate that. I mean, what does the world look like if you have unlimited scholarships? If you have, maybe unlimited is the wrong word. I mean, but what does the world look like, especially in your world in track and field, if you have as many scholarships as, you know, ratio wise to football?
Oh yeah. I mean, if we had the same, could we basically, we have a similar roster size to football when you combine, if you combine men and women, and we're maybe a little bit smaller, like football is going to have 120 to 140 at Michigan, roster spots and 85 full scholarships, right? Track and field, we have between 100 to 110 combined men and women. So if we had, say, say the ratio is like, say that's 65, say that's equivalent to 65 full scholarships. Well, it would be a heck of a lot more competitive for sure. Cause we're an attractive choice. We have so many great things that go for us. Like we have world-class facilities. Obviously we're a Power Five school that has one of the strongest athletic departments in the country. And we couple that with, the number one public education institution in the country. We've got academic programs that, rival the Ivies and rival Stanford. And so, we can provide the best of both worlds. This unbelievable athletic experience coupled with a world-class academic experience that's really sets you up for life. But there's a price tag that comes with that as well. And so if you're not one of those athletes, especially an out-of-state athlete, if you're not one of those athletes that's getting a large or significantly large scholarship, it's a challenge. Higher education costs are not going down at any point. And, we're a very expensive institution out of state. In state, we're actually very affordable. So you can get a great degree with, still, still have to have an outlay of, of cash, but it's definitely, for an in-state kid, we could be a really attractive option.
So let me transition into just the idea of great coaches and not so great coaches. I mean, you've been coaching alongside a lot of people. You've had a lot of contemporaries and peers. What have you seen as what separates great coaches and just not so great coaches?
I think there's a lot of things. Sometimes it's really hard to like differentiate, right? Because there's a lot of great coaches that, maybe don't get the notoriety they should because they're in smaller programs or they're, in a lower division or they're, not at a school that's going to get a lot of media exposure. And there's maybe some other coaches that, get more notoriety or exposure because, they're able to get a lot of great athletes. And so it's something, I think it's a hard measuring stick. Like what's makes a great coach and a not great coach, because it's not purely your athlete's performance that kind of dictates that. I think like at the end of the day, like I think my personal opinion, what makes a great coach is somebody that, can find a connection with their athletes, that can see consistent improvement, whether that's from your five-star full scholarship, elite high school athlete that comes in and then continues to improve to the national level, but can also develop that preferred walk-on or that guy that, other Power Five programs didn't want, and can take that athlete and, maybe they're not, maybe they don't make a national meet, maybe they don't score at a Big Ten championship, but they make significant progress towards, achieving a goal that is, that is big for them, right? In terms of kind of where their starting point was. So I think those are really, really important things when it comes to making, when it comes to like evaluating coaches. I think there's also just the notion of like, are you someone that's willing to like learn and adapt and not just be, an old school, like I'm stuck in my way and it's a my way or the highway type situation, or it's like throw everybody to the wolves and hope everybody stays healthy versus like, hey, are you really willing to dial in and treat your athletes as the individuals that they are? And what I'll say is I say all that, but I'll say it's not a perfect science. Like, it is challenging when you have, you know, 20, 25, 30 distance athletes on your team to manage all of that. And it's, you know, I don't profess to be a great coach. I think I've had some great results. I think I'm still learning and trying to be better. And it's one thing I tell my athletes, like, we do, you know, we do like many other coaches, we have goal meetings throughout the year. You know, kind of before each season, it's kind of like good points for us to check in, and it's for me to be able to give feedback to them, but it's also for them to be able to give feedback to me on things that I can improve on or things that they've, you know, I tell them all the time, it's like, I don't have an ego in this. I'm like, my goal is the same as your goal. I want to make you the best athlete that I can. And so in order to do that, it's got to be a partnership. And I think when coaches realize that it's a partnership between the athlete and the coach, then overall your team tends to move in a better direction.
So how often are you meeting with the athletes and going through these, like, I mean, these are things not even on the track or, you know, in the long run. How often are you meeting with them and just talking about the psychology of it all, the how we're all on the same page?
Yeah. I mean, so obviously when we have a larger roster, we have somewhere in the neighborhood of, you know, usually at a minimum 25 distance athletes. You know, obviously I'm director of the entire program, so, you know, there are a lot of other things as well. But what I want from my athletes, I want to have at a minimum three quality, like, face-to-face in the office meetings during the year. So we always do one, you know, the beginning of each season. So beginning of cross, beginning of indoor, beginning of outdoor. That's my bare minimum for every athlete. And each athlete's a little bit different in how much interaction, how much feedback they want. But that's my bare minimum. You've got to meet with me at least those times. And then it's pretty much an open door policy for the ones that crave kind of more feedback. All they got to do is text or pop their head in the office and we sit down and we have a meet. So I have some guys where I meet every, you know, sometimes every, you know, week and a half. We have other guys where it's like every time they race, they set up a meeting for the next week because they want to have one-on-one, like, let's digest this meet, this competition, and what we're going to do moving forward. I have other guys who it's like, they're fine meeting, you know, once a season for like that one-on-one. Now I'm at practice every day, so it's not that, you know, we're kind of getting those touch points, but that's not quality conversation, right? It's like you're meeting, you're letting them know what the workout is. You're, you know, I spend time during warm-up time, making sure I'm getting interaction with guys, but it's like more chit chat and quick check-ins than real constructive feedback.
Yeah. And that makes sense too. I mean, there's only so much time you have to be able to give, and they also have school too, right?
Sure. But at the end of the day, my biggest thing I tell the athletes is like, if you want that from me, all you got to do is come and ask me for it. Like, you want that feedback, then like, I'm not going to force it on you, but, and to me that forces athletes to take some ownership in building those relationships as well. So it's forced on you three times a year. And, you know, if you want to continue to get that feedback and feel like that is helping you improve or helping you build that relationship so that you and I have better connection, then the door's right there. Come on in.
Well, let's end with this. What's one thing that you really look at your staff and think they do this extremely well?
Respect and fairness. And that's like across the board. Like, we have a staff that, that genuinely enjoys being around each other. And we are 100% focused on building a team. So, and that may mean like in any given year, we may have, you know, we may have more resources go to jumps or throws, or we're always going to be a program that is going to try and be strong in the distance area. So there's always going to be a little bit more investment in the distance area side of things, but everybody is on board with, you know, we're trying to build this program to be competitive in these three different seasons. and let's go do it. And so there's respect up and down the hallway, which then helps in when your athletes see your coaches get along, then your athletes tend to respect each other as well. They respect the different event areas as well. So I think that is one thing. The other thing is we're going to be fair in all our decisions. So whether that's, you know, decisions on scholarships, we're going to be fair about that. We're going to be fair about the way we make decisions on travel. Those are like two really big things. And we try to be as consistent as possible across the board when it comes there, so that everybody knows that, you know, we're not trying to play favorites one way or the other.
Yeah. Man, well said. In fact, anybody that's listening and they have aspirations to go to Michigan, they're going to feel cared for because it is fair. I mean, let me ask you, and this is just purely because of where I'm from and my context. I lived in Michigan for 4 years. I would watch the local news and make sure school wasn't canceled because it snowed. I mean, how often is weather playing a huge part on the training that you have to do? I mean, what do you have to do as a distance coach, especially? How creative do you need to get in these workouts?
I mean, surprisingly, we don't have to be that creative. Like we're fortunate. Like we get snow. We get all four seasons. We get snow. We get cold. We get ice. It is what it is. We're fortunate in that, you know, we have an unbelievable indoor facility. So we've got a, you know, 6-lane, 200-meter hydraulic bank competition track, a 300-meter training track around that. You know, multiple Woodway treadmills, Alter G's, underwater travel. I mean, we have all the resources we need. So on any given day, any day of the year, I can have, you know, 68 degrees, no wind, perfect conditions to do a workout in. And, you know, that's not always just applicable to the winter. Like, you know, the year Ben Flanagan won the 10,000 meters of the NCAA championships, our last workout before we left to Eugene in June was indoors because we were dealing with a thunderstorm. And so we weren't allowed to be outside. So we came inside, we did, you know, 2400s on the indoor track, got all the quality we needed, hopped on the plane, went to Eugene, won a national championship. So it's, you know, we can make it work. And what I tell athletes, cause we get this question a lot, especially if we recruit from the West or the South, it's like, how do you deal
Southern with the California kids? Like, well, want to know.
Yeah. I'm like, well, I mean, look at all the great distance programs that are in the North. I mean, if you want to just look at our, you know, the Great Lakes region in particular, right? You got ourselves, you got Notre Dame, you got Wisconsin, you got Butler, you got Michigan State. I mean, we're all dealing, you know, the severity is a little bit different in each spot, but those are great distance programs. Mm-hmm. And we're all dealing with the elements. And we all make it work. So part of it's up in your head. Yeah. Like if you make it a bigger deal than it needs to be, then it's going to affect you. But I would say we're outside 95% of the year for anything except for an intense workout. And then from December until end of February, we're going to go indoors for intense workouts, but we're outside for everything else.
I love it. Well, you guys are doing a great job, and it's very easy to see that, like you mentioned earlier in the podcast, we're going to see your team on the rise to be one of those, not just top 16 anymore, top 10 and beyond. You're doing a great job. And I think it was really evident to hear your wisdom and candor and discernment on the podcast. So appreciate you coming on. Where can we follow more about you, your program, how the kids are doing, where on social media? Your website seems to be really well done too.
Yeah, I mean, our website's great. mgoblue.com is where you'll find everything, you know, Michigan athletics related. And then on Twitter, it's at UMichTrack. Same on Instagram, at UMichTrack, on Threads. We do have a small active presence on TikTok, but that's still growing. But yeah, you can find everything you need to know about our program on Instagram, Twitter, and then you can go to my personal one. It's at @KSully_UM, but you might just see baby pictures on there more than track stuff. But I post some track stuff on there once in a while.
We love it, man. And thank you so much, Coach, for joining me. Stick around. You can listen to our CEO, Steve, who's not afraid of weather or bank tracks or anything because he's the man. He will tell you how to get in contact with on social media with On Track and Field and RelayBatons.com, which make custom engraved, laser etched. I have a bunch of them. They're fantastic. And they're great gifts to your coaching staff if you ever want that, or a Father's Day present for that matter. But listen to Steve. He'll tell you how to get in contact with them. But Coach, thanks for joining me.
Yeah, thanks, JT. Really appreciate it.
Steve, take it away.
Thanks for joining us on this week's On Track and Field podcast with guest Coach Kevin Sullivan. The On Track and Field podcast is powered by RelayBatons.com. Custom engraved, meet, and competition legal relay batons. Perfect for representing your school or team. And great for coaches' gifts, meet awards, promposals, and a great way to show your boosters some love. And check out our custom engraved water bottles and tumblers. Great for team branding and swag. And by OnTrackAndField.com. Track and cross country's one-stop source for everything you need for a competitive season and training. Competition gear, spikes, training equipment, and shoes. OnTrackAndField.com has everything you need. And make sure to check out our new website, OnTrackRunning.com, your new source for competition and training shoes, featuring Saucony, Brooks, On Running, New Balance, Asics, and Hoka shoes and spikes. OnTrackRunning.com. And make sure to follow us on our socials at OnTrack, the letter N, Field, at OnTrackAndField on Twitter and the Gram,